This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. This is the fireside edition of Betting Weekly this week. Nigel, how are you? Profitable weekend, unlucky with Burnley not to get the sweep.
Is that a fire? I can't imagine
a fire. We're going to burn, Dan. I'm surprised you can sit that close.
Four or six getting around that fire. It looks like one of those fake, you know, things you got on your television. You press a button, it comes up with a fake fireplace on your TV.
You know what? It's so warm. I'm going to have to, I don't think I can last the show.
Look at it.
Please don't take your shirt off.
Look at that. And well, anyway, you're living the dream there in the Airbnb with the log burner looking very, where are you? In the Swiss Alps?
I'm in Cheshire.
Yeah, I could tell that. I thought you might have been in Aspen or something like that, you know, your ski lodge. For the show. It was a bit unfortunate, wasn't it? I mean, you know, we pretty much called the Arsenal-Manchester City game, the Man City-Arsenal game, pretty much bang on. All of us, everybody on the channel sort of said that Jack was, well, the under 2.5 goals was probably a bet in hindsight, plus 105. It was very Solanke on the business and then the 2-3.5 goals. I was counting the cash on that. I thought we had it in the bag and then it just... never come through for us in the end. The goal just before halftime changed the complex of the game. When 0-0 at halftime, I think we would have cashed, but a goal just before halftime is always a bad thing if you're on the unders, whatever line you're on, 2.5 or 3.5. So it was a bit frustrating, but, you know, it was a little bit of profit for the weekend, so that was quite good.
I want to say I'm lucky with your pick on United, Jack, because they scored in the 96th minute, but Brentford's later goal meant it was 1-1. I mean, United were battered, weren't they, really?
Yeah, I posted much the same. I'd have been stealing a win on that one. I'd have took it, obviously, 100%, and ran off with it. But, admittedly, I thought one of the luckiest wins of the season when they scored, like, 96. And then for them, as Nigel said at the time, when he very succinctly summed up Man United over the course of this season so far, that sums them up, doesn't it? They couldn't even get over the line with like a couple of minutes ago, having been back to the wall. So there we go. Yeah, we take that one. But another good goal scorer winner and a half a loss. So it was worth playing that more cautious line on the Palace game.
Just before we get into the picks, and I've got to be quick because Stuart's in charge this week on the YouTube comments. He said that we chatted far too much at the top of the show and with the picks. But just before we get into the selections... Nigel, I mean that United game is Exhibit A for goals backers, isn't it? Here, because 5 years ago, 2 years ago, that's 0-0. I mean, goals in the 96th and the 99th minute. This is what's changed this season. That's the best example you're going to get.
Well, it's 0-0 or it's 1-0. I mean, the one goal and that'll be it. And the other side will probably be demoralised and not come out and fight for the last 2 minutes. And, you know, especially the underdogs. You know, they were the underdogs. They would think, oh, we've lost 1-0. We've played well. We lost 1-0. But there's kind of belief now in every Premier League side that we can get at these teams and they've got goal scores. If someone told me many years ago in the Premier League that the goals would go up because the strikers are worth 140 million, 120 million, the strikers were getting better and the defenders were getting poorer. Whether that's the case, I don't know. But, you know, when you've got someone like Tony up there, every team has a Solanke at Bournemouth, you know, Newcastle, got Isaac. There's a lot of players at the bottom, even at the bottom of the tables, who can score the ball in the back of the net are international strikers. And so they always have an outlet. So when they go one behind, they've always got to think to themselves, well, 2 minutes ago, we can get something from this. Years ago, they never thought they could. The approach was to go and get a draw, defend, conceding in the 95th minute, and then that would be it. So there is a change in thought process now to these teams when they go behind. Whether it's in the 94th, 95th, 96th minute, now they go back again and try to get something from the match.
Yeah, 8 out of 10, both teams to score, yes, at the weekend. We've had 4 minutes. Stuart's going to be going absolutely mad. Let's get some picks here. Newcastle, Everton, first up for us. This is 2:30 Tuesday. It's a midweek slate, of course. Nigel, Newcastle finding a bit of form. Everton, I just look back, haven't won in 12 in the Premier League. It's shocking form. What's the play here? What do you like?
I can't believe the price on Newcastle, personally, honest with you. I think it's a big, big price. I mean, Newcastle are even money with BetRivers to win this game, which I find quite amazing, really, because if you look at Newcastle's home record this season, they've won as many games as Manchester City, 10 matches. Man City home to, I'm not comparing Newcastle to to Manchester City by any means of imagination, but Man City at home to Everton in this current state would be probably -450. Even money Newcastle. Now, you might look at the match against West Ham in the midweek and say, well, they conceded three and they showed defensive frailties. But I tell you what, two goals late on, Harvey Barnes coming on, will change the whole dynamic going into this match. The St. James's Park will be rocking again. The fans will be behind the team that they are in every single match they do play at home. We talk about managers are under a bit of pressure sometimes at the end of the season. Well, I think Eddie Howe is still under pressure. He's good. So he's got to, you know, talk about teams that may be having a little bit of a come down towards the final end of the season. I don't think that's going to be the case with Newcastle because the manager's still under a bit of pressure. They score goals for fun as something that, they, you know, that Everton don't do. If you look at Newcastle's last six, seven home matches, they've scored six. In six of the last seven, they scored at least two goals. So they've got goals in them. Barnes has come back. Gordon is out, suspended. Obviously got a red card in that match. We missed this match, which is a bit of a blow for them. But Isaac Izak is scoring goals as well. Callum Wilson is coming back into the team as well. So you look at that Newcastle side, everywhere you look at it, there's goals. They're the second top goal scorers at home in the Premier League. Only Liverpool have scored more goals than them. And they play an Everton side, as you say, no winning nine. Absolutely dreadful. Cannot find the back of the net. They have not, you know, talk about outlets of teams with a striker. Everton don't have that. They really are lacking the goal ability. They failed to score in five of their last eight road matches. They haven't had an away win since December. You know, and you talk about teams at the bottom sometimes having the need to win. You know, look at teams that have got nothing to play for, which we've used that sort of argument many times on this show. But this Everton side are trying to bore their way to survival. 0-0. Gritty 1-0, you know, and they're getting by because other teams are dropping points below them, and they're just getting by trying to do that kind of thing. But against his Newcastle side of a free scoring, I think even money is a great bet. If you look at Everton's goals this season on the road, 15 goals on the road compared to only second lowest. Sheffield United have scored the lowest at 12, and you know, and 38 goals, I think it was, that Newcastle have scored at home, and only Liverpool have scored more. So I'm amazed that Newcastle are even money. I really am. I think if they had lost the match against West Ham, then I think the crowd could be a little bit down on them. But the fact that they've scored those two late goals, they go into this match full of confidence, a 4-3 win. I expect more of the same. And I think Newcastle are even money. A team that have got a huge goal threat against a team that has powder puff. There's, you know, I would say they've just got nothing up front, and they really do. They know they've got nothing really as an attacking force, and I think that extra attacking threat for Newcastle here gives them a huge edge, and I think even money is a great price.
They've just been clipped into -107 very quickly. What's the shortest price you'd go for this one for a play, Nigel? What would you go to? -110, -115, -120?
I'd probably go lower. I'd make them probably about 8-11. I think they're probably about -136 to win the match. That's what price I would probably be. But I think anywhere realistically around it, down to about -120, I'd bet them. But, you know, anything around even money, I think is too good.
Nottingham Forest Fulham is another Tuesday game, 2:30 Eastern, as is that Newcastle Everton game. We're at the City Ground for this one. Forest are favourites here. Jack, since that League Cup exit, we thought Fulham might lose a bit of interest, but they've only lost twice in the Premier League. Forest just the one win in the calendar year so far in the top division. What are we like in this one?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, to look at, but I'm going for Fulham tie no bet here at -103, which I think is a nice price given what I've seen from Fulham in those recent weeks. Even at the weekend, and I took quite a lot of positives from that. I kind of chewed over it a little bit, but when you break it down, they dominated Sheffield United in that game, as you'd expect them to do. But at 3-1 down, you think, oh, here we go. And we talked at length last week, didn't we, about the on-the-beach sides. And we thought, well, Fulham have kind of shown that there. 3-1 down against Sheffield United. But 86 minutes on the clock, and they came back to take a point from it. And I think if they were checked out, then they certainly could have just gone, let that one meander and take the defeat and move on and go back to looking at their holidays to Dubai and everywhere else around the world. But that was impressive. Silva said he was disappointed because they dominated the game, but took the positives from the fact that they refused to lose. That was his words. 74% possession, 24 shots at goal, 9 on target. And of course, they did score 3 goals, which has kept up their very good goal scoring record at the minute. And of course, another massive positive is the fact they've got Muniz now as that goal scorer that they've not had since Mitrovic. We talked about it a lot over the course of the season. And he's scored all those 8 goals, as we mentioned in the last show, in the last 2 months. So we're into a new month now, of course. So he's going to hope to carry that on and finish the season on a high. It was great to see him kept on right until the end. He hit the post twice during the course of the game. So he's obviously got the faith of his manager going, yeah, look, you're in this good form. We're going to leave you on and we're going to get you to get us out of this and get us something from it. And he did. And what else I liked about it is deep, deep into the game, looked like they were going to lose. He scores a fantastic goal, wasn't it? Bicycle kick from like round about the penalty spot. Rather than going off and celebrating and having the big huddle and the knee slides and all the rest of it, he's raced to the back of the goal, picked the ball out of the net and gone back to the halfway line and said, come on, let's go and get a winner. And I thought that was quite a signal of intent as well, to say that Fulham actually possibly are still looking at gatecrashing those higher places. They certainly don't look, on the basis of all that, that they've checked out. So, yes, fairly poor away form over the course of the season. But looking at the more recent form and stats, I think that we looked at Fulham looked like one of the better sides in that mid-table, certainly at the moment. Only one defeat in the last 4 on the road as well. They scored 8 goals across that process. So we've talked about teams that can score goals will always have a chance, certainly, of getting at least a draw out of a game, looking to probably go on and win. They've won 3 of their last 5 across all venues and beaten some decent sides in that. Man United, Brighton, Spurs across those games. So again, they've put in some decent performances and they've got a fantastic record against Nottingham Forest. Won 8 of the last 10 meetings between the two sides, including a 5-0 in the reverse. And it was as recently as December as well. So fairly a good recent timeline to draw on to that, to say they've got the number on this Forest side, who are in poor form, as you've already said. That draw against Palace at the weekend, that's no win in 6 for them now. 4 defeats across those games as well. And we talked about their home form last season. We've compared it this season where it's fallen short and why they're in trouble. Lost 7 of the last 10 at home. So an early goal here for Fulham, and the natives could get a little bit restless at the City Ground. And that's a massive swinging factor. So for me, I'm taking Tyno bet, same as the 0 Asian line as well. So we get a full refund if this ends level. But a win, of course, for Fulham gets us the cash at -103.
If you fancy Fulham to win the game, +190, incidentally. Burnley Wolves next up for us. This is again Tuesday, a little bit later at 2:45. Burnley +175. Wolves are favourites, +150, but it's almost a pick 'em contest. We suggested, Nigel, that Burnley had turned a bit of a corner last week, and you mused about just playing them on the Asian line, which would have been a winning bet. Obviously, your unders bet was unlucky. Stays 11 versus 11. They might have even won the game at Chelsea. What are we like here in their game against Wolves on Tuesday?
Well, I think Burnley are doing all right at the moment. I mean, I know they've had, they're defensively, they're terrible. They're about as much use as a chocolate fire guard in front of that roaring fire there, their defence. But they're absolutely, I mean, they're, defensively, that's their big problem. Obviously, made the bold decision to change the goalkeeper, as we touched last time, and it seemed to have worked a little bit. But they showed a huge amount of spirit against Chelsea. I mean, a huge amount. Again, you know, another match, late goal, 2-2. They were 2-1 down against Chelsea. Most teams will drop their heads, but they think we'll go again. This is the way that these teams are now in the Premier League. You keep going. They don't think the defeat is out of the question. They always know there's goals. I think they think their defences are vulnerable this season in the Premier League. It doesn't matter who it is. If you have a go at them, you've got a chance. They should have beat West Ham. There's another 2-2 draw. They beat Brentford in the last home game. So the last 3 matches, they've done well. They've done really well. And I'm telling you what, talk about like teams at the bottom. I mean, a lot of people look at Burnley saying they're the worst, one of the worst teams in it, conceding goals. But if they can get, this is a huge, huge match for them. If they can get something from this, the next match they have is Burnley. They play Everton. Burnley play Everton. And if they can beat Everton, they're only 1 point behind Everton. That's if they win this, obviously. There's a lot of things that are going to go for them. But they've got Sheffield United to come. They've got Nottingham Forest at home on the final day of the season. They're, you know, I'm not saying they will completely, and I'm not saying they're a bet or anything, I'm not saying they're going to survive, but they're not a certainty, as some people, that those odds will suggest. And this,
they're not detached.
It all hinges on this match, I think. I think if they can win this match, it will be absolutely massive for them. And I think they'll come in it fired up with confidence. I think after that Chelsea performance, I believe that they'll come here. And the jury's out really on Wolves. And, you know, I've said it many times about teams that you want to fade who've got nothing much to play for. And I still stand by that. I mean, I've got a couple of them wrong, teams concentrating the FA Cup and stuff like that. But I still stand by that rule. There's a lot of teams that just come to this part of the season who really don't have anything to play for. And Wolves are definitely that side at the moment in the Premier League. They are the team that I think that will sort of fade away for a number of reasons. Obviously, they got beat dramatically in the FA Cup against Coventry, which was a huge blow for not only for them, but for me, because I bet them 100-1. So that was a huge blow for me. So that is a massive disappointment. They didn't play well yet on Friday against, is it Friday? I'm still losing the days over. Was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. Saturday. They didn't play very well against Aston Villa in the 2-0 defeat. They had a bit of total control. That didn't really offer anything at all, Wolves, in that match. And the manager's been linked now with a few positions. You know, he's been linked with a coaching job at Manchester United. There's a couple of manager positions that he's sort of been muted around for. So there's a little bit of uncertainty around Wolves at the moment coming into the close season, and I think that's going to affect them. So I think this is an absolutely must-win match for Burnley, and I think they can win it. And I'm surprised that they're such an underdog here. I know they've got the worst Premier League home record in the division, and I know that they can see so many goals, but this is 7 or 8 matches to go in a Premier League season. Strange and crazy things happen. You know, anybody who's new to betting, who comes along and looks at a league table and looks at the average and looks at the stats, you are going to do your bollocks if you start betting at this time of the season.
Don't get us R-rated. The show's not a sweary show.
But things go, but they do. You are going to do your money. But things go, like things change at this time of the campaign. Things change. And the Burnley that we saw 8 weeks ago, not the Burnley we see now, they're fighting for their life. And I think the crowd will be behind them, everything that. And Wolves, I think, are a fade at this present time. So I'm going to go for, I like Burnley on the money line, which would, I wouldn't put anybody off. But the fact that they concede so many goals, like they're conceding like almost 2 a game for the last whatever match is since, I mean, if you look at their goals, this is January the 31st, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches, 8, they've conceded at least 2 in 8 of those. So that is their problem. They've got to stop the goal rut. And if they can do that, they'll win. They've got goals in them. And I think that Burnley here will get something from this match. I wouldn't rule out a draw. So for that reason, I'm going to go for Burnley draw no better, plus 105. The fade is for Wolves. The fade will be for Wolves for the remainder of the season. And I think Burnley will win here and next week set up against Everton. Then they'll believe that they can survive. But I'm going to go for Burnley, draw no bet, plus 105, be Wolves.
Extras on that is a bit of a theme of today's show is strikers have been able to score goals. And of course, Fofana is back for Burnley in this. He weren't allowed to play at the weekend because it was against his parent club. So that's quite key. And he scored a couple of goals recently for him, which have been massive. And Wolves have got injury problems in that forward area. So that's, I think, their problem is we've said it in the past, haven't we, about Wolves scoring goals. And they've got that return to haunt them at the moment because of losing all their players for injury. So, yeah, absolutely on that one. And a couple of wins set at the bottom of that table. It is so tight. The points are so low down there. You do string a couple of wins together by any means you can. And then suddenly you're either caught up or out of trouble.
Yeah, not without hope, I think, Burnley to stay up. It's a long shot, but not without hope, certainly.
It all hinges on this game, Dan. This is the game. If they lose this match, then they haven't got a chance. If they win this match, they're set up. They're going to a 4-match unbeaten run against an Everton side that are really struggling. They can get something from that, then they've got a chance.
Arsenal-Luton is the first Wednesday game we take a look at here. Arsenal are extremely short at -8.35. Luton, 20-1 shots. Draws 9-1. +900. Jack, I think Arsenal may well have played for a draw at City. We'll talk title later in the show. But they're not going to do it, obviously, at home against Luton. And goal scorer bets were our saviour at the weekend, treated us really well. You've picked out a player to follow here at the Emirates.
Yeah, again, another repeated theme is it's a tough slate, isn't it? There's some tight games and you've got to try and work out how people are going to be suffering from playing back-to-back quickly and also massive odds on favourites, short favourites. So, I've gone with one of those games and combined a couple of those facts as well. So Kai Havertz is my selection this one to score at +112, plus money for a striker to score against Luton at home. Is a bit of a no-brainer for me, to be fair here. He's in his best run of form since coming over to England. He sort of struggled in and out and had his moments against when he was playing for Chelsea. He's come into Arsenal and he started off playing a little bit deeper, didn't quite have what they were looking for. And then by one reason or another, he's found himself as the main strike force. And I think that's a great role for him there because he does offer Arsenal something different. He's 6'4", 1m88. So he's got that physicality about him. He does work hard. He works across the line. And he can link up play. He can drop in a bit deep. And he's also been around to score goals in the box as well. So that game against Manchester City then talked about there. Yeah, Arsenal were looking for, certainly to get out of town with something, which they duly did. that ended a run of four successive league games where Havertz has scored. So we can forgive him that, given the role he probably had to play in that game and the opponents as well. Man City away, as you said, a little bit different to Luton at home. Looks a great chance for him to get on a score sheet here. We've talked about Luton all season. They keep doing what they've been doing all season. Spurs take the lead, go into half-time, and you still had that feeling that they were likely to chuck it away, and they did. But again, it was another tight, tense end for them. A late goal, 2-1 defeat. And where we've seen them struggle this season is when they've had to go back-to-back so quickly because of their squad. They don't rotate. They haven't got the ability to rotate like other sides have. They will pretty much have a 1-11 and have to go with it. So we'll see that again here. And we saw them recently. This is a very comparable game to when they played Liverpool. They were running on a little bit of empty. First 45 minutes, they gave Liverpool a real tough game. They ended up losing it 4-1. I wouldn't be surprised to see a similar scoreline here. I expect Arsenal to score 4-5 goals, something like that in this one. We've seen Luton in recent games, 4-4 against Newcastle, that 4-1 against Liverpool, 6 they conceded at home to Manchester City, 3-2 against Villa, 4-3 having been 3-0 up in the first half against Bournemouth. So again, a reoccurring theme with them. They are conceding a lot of goals at the moment, and obviously, up until this weekend, Arsenal were one of, if not the most prolific strike forces, certainly in 2024. And Havertz has been a part of that. So one of the things levelled at Havertz, I think, over the course of his time in England, certainly has been that he was wasteful, missing lots and lots of chances. Quick comparison. We've talked about XG before, expected goals. He's running pretty much exactly where he should be on his expected goals. He's expected to have scored 8 goals this season, and he has done. And I say 4 of those have come in his last 5 league games. So he's in good form, confidence, scored on international duty as well. Massive thing for a strike, especially for someone like Havertz. Expect Arsenal, given how tight this title race is, goal difference could come and be very crucial. So no foot off the gas in this one. Goals against Luton to be had. Havertz to get at least one of them at plus 112.
Big price that. I was sort of half surprised he plays up front when Jesus started at the weekend. Yeah. But Jesus played on the left-hand side as well. So
yeah,
it stands to me. I think it's a really good bet. Plus money for Arsenal's main man at the minute. That's Arsenal-Luton on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, Brentford against Brighton, 2:30 Eastern time again. Brentford just about favourites here. Nigel plus 155, Brighton plus 163, draw plus 275 as we speak. This is Tony Bloom versus Matthew Benham. For those that don't know, these two former colleagues and very, very good bettors in their day. Don't know if they still have a bet these days, but very good, weren't they, Nigel? I don't know if you want to explain to listeners and viewers if they don't know who these two gentlemen are. Of course, they own Brighton and Brentford, respectively.
Yeah, they basically were the founders, kind of the Goal XG. They were the guys who bet the Asian handicap many, many years ago, and they made their fortunes from gambling and sports betting, and particularly football betting. And then Tony Bloom managed to buy Brighton Football Club, and Matthew Benham done the running ball system and decided to buy Brentford Football Club, and they based their whole strategy and players on analytical, and they sort of set that. If you look at the two, how they run the football club, it's how a football club should be run. Both of them, they've done a brilliant job, and sort of Tony Bloom was the founder of it, and Matthew Benham's come on, and I don't think there's much love lost between the two of them.
There's not now, is there? No.
So I think this is a match that I always usually buy the bookings in this match, because it's a sort of a match that nobody realizes that, you know, how much sort of between the two, the owners of the clubs won't like to lose at this match. And unfortunately now the bookies markets in some states, we can't do it with Bet Rivers because it's sort of banned. But, you know, I'm looking for other markets. I think this is against the norm, really, on the current, you know. I know Brentford are in a bad run. They haven't won in 7, but they're on the back of a brilliant performance against Manchester United. They did everything the right in that game, apart from put the ball in the back of the net. But Brighton, equally, I thought Brighton played well against Liverpool. I mean, they scored a great goal early on. They played really, really well, one of their best performances on the season. But their road form in recent weeks has been absolutely shocking, and they've been getting absolutely thumped as well. 4-0 at Luton and some other heavy defeats as well. But I just think this is a good matchup for Brighton. I quite like Brighton here. I think Brighton are a much better team. I think they've got an excellent manager who's obviously been linked with the Liverpool job. I think the reason why their slump is because probably that his eyes have been distracted to that job. I also think he's worried about, yeah, he hasn't signed a contract yet, has he, as a manager to Zerbi. And I think it's all about what's going on at Liverpool rather than what's going on at Brighton. But I think this is the kind of match that brings them right back down. This is a must. you mustn't lose this match. I'm certain that Tony Bloom will say to this is a match that you want to win. And I think it'll be a fiery encounter. And I just think with the sort of the history between the two owners and the fact that Brighton, both of them coming back of good performances, I don't think Brentford can turn their terrible form, what they've shown coming into this, into the Manchester United match on its head with just one decent performance. You can be critical of them and say they should have scored and they should have scored more chances. You know, would a fully focused Tony have put some of them chances away that he had? I don't know. But I'm getting towards Brighton here. It's a bit risky. It's a bit risky in terms of the league position. And there's not really much of an argument you could make in it. If you go through all the Brighton statistics and their performances so far, you'd be saying, well, you can't really bet them. But just what goes on behind the scenes here and knowing how important this match is to Brighton, I'm going to go for Brighton to edge this. I wouldn't be surprised to see a goal-scoring draw. I would expect goals. The goal line is 3.5, which you would expect to be in this kind of match. But I think that Brighton are the better team. I think Brighton deserve to be a little bit more respected in the market. I'm just checking the price here because the line on the money line has changed, but it was -105 for us. Yeah, it's still -105. Surprisingly, really, because it's -105 on the draw, no bet, but we're the underdogs on the money line. So, I'm going to go for Brighton here on the draw, no bet, which is, again, the Asian handicap as a push. If it's a draw, we get the money back, but I think Brighton will probably edge it. And I expect a fully motivated performance from Brighton compared to some of those abysmal road matches that we've seen in the last couple of months.
That is Brentford-Brighton on the Wednesday, 2:30. One more game to preview, then we will have a look at the title odds for you before we wrap things up. This is Liverpool-Sheffield United, which is a Thursday game, 2:30 Eastern on Thursday at Anfield. Liverpool, ridiculously short. Sheffield United 25-1 to win at Anfield. I still think that Sheffield United are going to win one game and this surprise one? Everyone, a massive prize. I don't think it's going to be this game, but they're going to do something. I want to try and get with them on an Asian line, not against Liverpool. And this is one we've talked about this a bit, boys, about anytime goal scorer versus first goal scorer. The over and under line here, Jack, is 4.5. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Over 4.5 +130. Under 4.5 -165. I mean, this is set up for goals. Hopefully it will deliver because you've picked out a goal scorer for us.
Over 2.5 is -500.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That must be the shortest price we've seen for an over 2.5.
For a Premier League game, it's gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
Jack's gonna come onto the match here. Well, I mean, Liverpool don't. I know it sounds, it's the chasing pack that have to go into the goals. Liverpool just have to keep winning.
Yeah. Liverpool 4-0, you've won the unders.
Yeah, but Liverpool don't have, if Liverpool win 1-0, it doesn't matter. It's up to the chasing pack.
Is goal difference a thing?
If Liverpool keep winning, it's irrelevant, isn't it? True. Liverpool's got to win the match.
True.
They're in the box seat. They don't have to win 6 or 7. It's the ones in the chasing pack that have to keep winning.
True. Jack, what's the pick?
Yeah, I still think they'll want to put a number on Sheffield United here and get some safety net as such. If they drop a game, there's 2 points in at the top in there. So, I'll go on with Luis Diaz here. -110. This is a very similar theme to the Arsenal one. This is obviously Sheffield United they're taking on here. Another come-from-behind win for Liverpool at the weekend. They just keep doing it. It's incredible. It's as if they want a challenge, really. And it's like, you go and score, and then give us, we'll come and fire at you. And boy, do they fire at you. Like 30 shots again from Liverpool across the game. It just seemed like the Alamo. It was absolute carnage. It was shot after shot after shot. And Diaz obviously got the equaliser in the first half, and then Mo Salah with the winner in the second half. Although Diaz did have another one disallowed, marginal offside via VAR, wasn't it? So it could have been more comfortable than it was. But we know what we get from Liverpool, especially at Anfield. They are absolutely an incredible, irresistible force there. Won 11 of the last 14 league games this season. They scored 38 goals across that period this season at Anfield. Three or more goals in 10 of those games, which is an incredible stat to reel off the fact that they are just scoring so, so prolifically there. We know over the course, it's no fluke, is it? One defeat in the last 56 league games at Anfield. So a truly incredible record where they scored 140 across those games. So it just goes to show that over such a long period of time, this is no fluke, this is no golden patch. This is literally how it is. And they've won the last six against Sheffield United. No surprise there. They've won that six games by an aggregate of 13-1. So, and we know Sheffield United, worst team in the league, worst defence in the league, conceded 77 goals this season. They're now averaging 2.65 goals conceded per game. Hence why this goal line is so high. We do expect Liverpool to run riot here in front of their crowd. Obviously, they've got the worst away record, as you'd expect, when they've got the worst overall record as well. And then when you look at the other two in this Liverpool front three, you'd probably expect all of them to get on the score sheet, to be honest. But you've got Mo Salah, probably rightly, at minus 200. We know what we get with Mo Salah. He's done it time and time and time again. Nunes, though, is the same price, minus 200. And then we get Luis Diaz at minus 110, which is obviously a very backable price. And he scored four of his last five league games at home. He seems to love playing at Anfield. He's kind of that character. He's certainly a player that Anfield will rise to because he's so exciting. He's dynamic. He's quick. He likes to take a shot from outside the box, and he's been scoring goals there. So I think he suits the ground. He suits the atmosphere, and the record shows that he's been enjoying a good goal-scoring form there against the worst side in the league. It's a great play for me. This looks like a superb price at minus 110, especially compared to the other two up top.
That's Luis Diaz, shade minus money to score against Sheffield United at home on that Thursday game at 2:30. Apologies to all our Texan viewers and listeners there for Jack mentioning the Alamo. Jack, don't go to Texas anytime soon. title thoughts, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal. After the weekend, Liverpool are 2 points clear of Arsenal, who are 1 point ahead of Manchester City. Nigel, what's your thoughts here? Liverpool plus 120, City plus 200, Arsenal plus 250. I got the impression that Mikel Arteta was relatively happy with the draw. He didn't really go for it late on in the game against City. It's as if he thought, look, you know, I've taken 4 points from the champions this season. I'll take that. And I'm confident for the remaining nine games, I will get more than the other two teams. Did you see it that way? Why do we think Arsenal are plus 250?
I think they went there for a draw and they got what they wanted. I mean, Man City disappointed, actually. I think Man City should, you know, you can see the frustration in Pep Guardiola. He wanted a bit more out of his team. I think that was such a bad result for Man City, really. And you see if you look at everyone's models and you look at everyone who's trading this, I reckon they'd have Man City third favourites to win the Premier League now. But I think the market has to put them in second place because they're probably the worst result and people will bet them at a fashionable price and the market probably still won't want to get with Arsenal. I think Liverpool are still the bet. I just think they're in the box seat. Their home record is phenomenal. There is one period of time where Liverpool, I think it's in the middle of April, where they've got three away games in the space of like a week. They've got to go Fulham, Everton, West Ham away. And I think that will be the crucial part. If they can get 8-9 points from that, you know, it's also whatever, not 8-9 points, but say they get 7 or 9 points from that, their home form is just, well, they're not going to lose at home against anybody. Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Tottenham and Wolves, well, you pretty much think they'll win all them. It's just if they can drop points on Villa away, they've got Villa away on the penultimate of the season. I think it's Liverpool's to lose from here.
Jack, Liverpool have got, as Nigel was intimating, got United away still. It's got the Merseyside derby. I don't know what that means away. Villa, their last away game, as Nigel was talking about. City have got Spurs and Brighton away, just looking at away games here.
Tottenham, haven't they? Also got North London.
Arsenal got Spurs, United and Brighton. I mean, I tend to think that all of them will win their home games. Jack, what's your take on the title race?
Yeah, you look at the those away ones, you think Everton just in that form at the moment. I know it's a derby. Yeah. You still expect Liverpool to go there and get the job done. United, we've already touched on. And Liverpool, I know they lost in the FA Cup eventually. But again, that was another game they should have been well out of sight. United were hanging on by their fingernails. So again, with the league situation and also United might be out of that race for the top five. I know they'd still want to beat Liverpool, but they might be focusing purely on that FA Cup coming up for them. So yeah, and Villa, yeah, not sort of, again, another side that might be looking more towards Europe come that time. So I think, yeah, Liverpool, worthy favourites for me.
That's the big thing, you know. Obviously, you could have, Arsenal got by Munich, haven't they? in the Champions League.
I think they'll beat Bayern Munich. Don't you think they'll beat Bayern?
And I don't know what. If they do beat Bayern, then they've got Real Madrid or Man City, and that's going to be that's going to really play havoc in their run day. And you've got Man City, obviously, have got to play Real Madrid. I mean, Liverpool can get the kids out and do work and reach the final of the Europa League. It's, I think that they're in the massive box seat. The draw, the weekend was just perfect for Liverpool. A draw in that match there and Liverpool win, it was perfect for them. I think it's theirs to lose. So, I mean, I think there'll be twists and turns along the way. I think there will be shock results and I think points will be dropped. But I think if Man City and Arsenal progress to a semi-final of the Champions League, then I think that's a huge distraction in some of those matches around there. I mean, and Man City got the FA Cup as well.
Yeah, against Chelsea, isn't it? Their semi-final. It's going to be interesting. Twists and turns, most certainly. Prices will fluctuate between now and the end of the season, but I tend to agree. Liverpool in the box seat. Atalanta, of course, they play in the last eight of the Europa League. Beat Napoli at the weekend, 3-0. That wraps up title chat. Let's get best bets before we disappear to enjoy Easter Monday. Nigel, what's your best bet of the midweek slate?
Newcastle to beat Everton, around about even money. -105, Jack, I think it is.
Yeah, and Jack?
Yeah, I'll go Luis Diaz to score.
Brilliant stuff. Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. I'm going to get to my fireside chat for the remainder of Easter.
Careful.
That is a wrap for Match Day 31, a Betting Weekly Premier League show. We are back on Thursday, next round of EPL fixtures. For now, though, from all of us, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.